Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 for our study this morning, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. And this morning, we are going to continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew. As all of you, I'm sure, are aware, we're going through the New Testament chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we're starting where the New Testament starts, the Gospel of Matthew. And we have arrived this morning to chapter 5. And we are going to be looking at the first 12 verses. And so, if you have it, you can let me know by saying amen. And let's read it together, and let's begin the study by getting the word in us. It reads as follows, Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord, and all the family says, amen. This morning, I've titled our study, Authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity. What are the marks of authentic Christianity? What does it look like to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I know that my faith is real? And that I'm inside the kingdom, and that I'm on the right path. This morning, not one of us can afford to have these questions go unanswered and unaddressed. Very, very important questions. And that's the value of reading and studying the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes, and that's what we refer to this portion of scripture, they're referred to as the Beatitudes, they really define for us in simple yet profound terms what are the marks of authentic Christianity. What does it mean and what does it look like to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, all around us, and I'm sure many of you can attest to this, we see so many different versions of Christianity that is less than authentic, less than genuine, and less than real. I like to refer to it as cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity, a Christianity that values tradition over truth, outward appearance over inward attitude, the facade over faith. Empty motions over full lives and a host of other things. Cultural Christianity, dead religion. And yet this morning, what we so desperately want for our lives, and I believe this with all my heart for all of you this morning, is that we don't want cultural Christianity, but we want authentic Christianity, biblical discipleship, true saving faith, real religion, genuine godliness. This morning we want it to be real, real in our lives, real in our hearts, real in our souls. We don't want dead religion. We hate the routine, but we want it real this morning. And that's the beauty of these Beatitudes. And that's why they're so valuable and so important, because through them, Jesus is showing us and teaching us the marks of authentic Christianity. Now, these verses, the Beatitudes, they begin what is known as the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, all the way to chapter 7, we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. And these Beatitudes is what you would say the introduction to this sermon. It's the first recorded sermon that we have that the Lord Jesus ever preached. And it's easily the most profound, penetrating, and powerful words that ever came from his lips. Easily the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher. It's a landmark sermon, and it really just defines for us what are the marks of the one who enters Christ's kingdom, and what are the marks that they are growing in his grace. Jesus, through this sermon, the teacher of all teachers, he describes to us how we may enter into his kingdom. He describes to us what are the marks, what are the evidences that you have entered his kingdom. What are the marks of true spirituality? What are the marks of authentic Christianity? What distinguishes true religion from false religion? And all of that is found in these three chapters, the Sermon on the Mount. And never was a sermon more necessary and more timely than this sermon. Because at the time when Jesus was giving this sermon, God's people had fallen into a state of superficial, shallow religion. And even the majority of them, they had fallen into a state of dead religion. Like the times today, like many people today, the religion of the time was shallow, superficial, tradition, and dead. Jesus, and you don't have to turn there, but let me just give you this reference. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus characterized the religion of the people of the day with these words. And he was quoting the prophet Isaiah. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That was the religion of the day. It was an outward show, but there was no inward reality. It was tradition, but there was no true saving faith. And all the people would gather to the temple, gather to the synagogue, and with their mouth, they would honor God. With their lips, they would say the right words and the right things, but their heart was far from God. They weren't right with God. They weren't right with God. They spoke the language. They had the songs down. They even knew how to pray. They even knew how to quote scripture. But Jesus just saw right through them, and their hearts were far from God. It was dead religion. It was superficial, shallow religion. And because of that, Jesus, he comes on the scene, the King, the Messiah, the Savior, and he cuts to the chase, and he begins his sermon with the marks of authentic Christianity, true spirituality, genuine godliness. The king just comes on the scene and says, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to instruct you what the true path is and how you know whether or not you're a genuine follower of God. And we have the Sermon on the Mount. And for the next few months, and yes, we're going to take some months. I'm not going to rush through this sermon because this is the greatest sermon ever preached, and you just don't rush through things like that. But we're going to take the next few months to study this sermon, and we're going to go slow. I'm going to be honest with you, like some Sunday mornings, we're just going to be covering like one verse, and I'm going to take like 6 hours for one verse. Just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Don't praise God for that, brother. No, I'm just teasing you, brother. I don't know if I can make 6 hours, but you know what I mean, fam. We're just going to chop it up, and we're just going to let the word speak to our lives. And we're going to begin this morning. And this morning, what I want to do, just by way of introduction, as we're going to first focus on the intro to the sermon, known as the Beatitudes, what I want to do this morning, I want to just share with you four things by way of overview in these Beatitudes. Now, next time we're together for our next study, we will go through each Beatitude individually and in depth, and we will talk about it, I promise you. But just to get started, I want to just share with you guys a few things by way of overview that we learn and we see in the introduction to this epic sermon, and let's look at them together. And they're in your little blue handout that we have supplied with you, all the major headings. And so it's going to serve you this morning, and you're just going to learn the word, study the word, because that's why we come to church, amen? We don't really come to socialize, although fellowship is good, but I first and foremost want to hear from God, amen? So let's begin, and stay with me, family. Feed your spirit this morning with me. First thing I see by way of overview in these Beatitudes is the preacher of blessedness. The preacher of blessedness. Let's read the first two verses together. And this is what we see and read. And seeing the multitudes, he is a reference to Jesus, went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And so the first thing we see is the preacher of blessedness, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a greater preacher, teacher, than the Lord Jesus Christ. How many can say amen to that? I'll even say amen to that also. Jesus came from God. Jesus was God and is God, and he spoke the very, he spoke the very words of God. And so Matthew, he begins the chapter by telling us that as Jesus saw all the multitudes, and remember, towards the end of chapter 4, we just learned that Jesus began to get a great following there in Galilee, that his fame began to spread, and all the people were just gathering around Jesus. And so as Jesus saw the multitude, his disciples came to him. He went up to a mountain. He took a seat and he began to teach and preach. Now, in Jewish culture, a rabbi, a teacher, when they would sit and teach or preach, that was an authoritative position. And so really it was backwards. The teacher would sit and the people would stand. I like that, right? You guys are like, no. Well, in our culture, you all know the teacher stands and the people sit. But it was a little different in Jesus' culture and in Jewish culture. And so Jesus, he's the preacher. The disciples and the multitudes are his congregation. And a mountain is his auditorium. And the greatest preacher who had ever lived is now opening his mouth and he's about to preach and teach the greatest sermon to ever be preached or taught upon this earth. And so really, the first two verses of this chapter It's a sacred moment. Like, don't just read it and think, okay, what's the big deal? No, you're talking about God in the flesh opening his mouth, instructing the people. It's a big deal. Believe me, it's a sacred moment. Never had any preacher spoken like this. To such a degree, if you can, just turn with me to Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. And this is the response of the people when Jesus was finished with his sermon. And so it was, verse 28, Matthew 7, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished. They were like speechless at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so right away, the people recognized no one has ever taught or preached like this one. And so the very first thing we see is the preacher of blessedness, the Lord Jesus, the fountain of truth, the essence of truth, the embodiment of truth, the very one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is instructing and teaching the people. And like I said, I'm just going to continue to reiterate this. No one ever preached like Jesus. Nobody ever taught like Jesus. And nobody ever spoke like Jesus. He's the teacher and the preacher of blessedness. And listen to this, okay? This is the hook. And we need to listen to him. We need to listen to him. He's the preacher. He's spoken. He's instructed. He's revealed the path to blessedness, the path to eternal life. And we need to listen to the words of the Savior. Even the Father himself bore witness of the preacher of blessedness. And in Matthew 17, verse 3, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Listen to him. Pay attention to his message. And this is the question for every single one of us. Are we listening to the preacher of blessedness? Are we paying attention to the words that Christ has spoken? You know, because the truth is, there's many voices who surround us, and every voice is trying to speak to us, trying to lead us, trying to instruct us, trying to give us advice. But the truth is, there's only one voice that leads to salvation, that leads to forgiveness, that leads to blessings, and that one voice is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to listen to him. We need to take the word of God serious. Serious. If you could take anything from this morning, especially if you're here like for the very first time, and you're like listening to me, and you're like, man, this guy is just way too crazy. I don't think I'm coming back. Well, take this with you, okay? You need to take this book serious, because one day every single one of us is going to be held accountable to what's written in this book. And you're going to stand before God one day, and you're not going to have no excuse, because God gave you a book. God gave you his word in a language that you understand. And you're not going to have no excuse on that day. No excuse before the judge of all the earth. You're going to be accountable, and I'm going to be accountable. And it's time for us to take the word of God serious. And it's time for us to pick up the word, to open the word, and to read the word daily. Daily. Not just on Sunday. What kind of Christian is that who only reads the word on Sunday? What kind of follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? We got to treasure the word. It's sweeter than honey. It's more precious than gold. And if you're feeling a little bad by the words. Praise God. Praise God, man. May the word put some blisters on your soul this morning. And may you leave challenged. Not condemned, but exhorted and challenged. And yeah, right on. Hey, man, I do need to start reading the word. I do need to start listening to the words of Christ, because only does Christ have the words of life, because he's the preacher of blessedness. How many can say amen to that? How many praise God that God communicated? Amen. Praise God that he didn't leave us out in the dark. Praise God that God wasn't playing hide and go seek. I never liked hide and go seek when I was small. I actually told that to my wife the other day. I hated that game. It's like, oh, I love that. I was like, man, you can hide all you want. That's not for me. But praise God, God didn't play hide and go seek, but God spoke. God showed up, and God has revealed to us the path of blessedness. And we got to listen, family. Let's look at the second thing we see. The second thing is the promise of blessedness. And let's read verses 3 through 12. And as we read, I'm just going to focus on certain parts of the verses just to emphasize the heading that we have for our second point. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11. Blessed. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And so the second thing we see as an overview is the promise of blessedness. Never had any other sermon began more positively than this sermon. It is filled with so many blessings proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3, just notice again with me, the very first word of the sermon. Now remember, it's believed that this is the very first sermon Jesus ever gave and the very first sermon recorded for us in the scriptures of the Lord. And notice how it started. Blessed. Blessed. That's a good way to start a sermon, right? Far from being a message of doom and gloom, you know, far of being a message about hell, fire, and brimstone. The Lord Jesus starts preaching, and he came to announce and offer the abundant blessing that comes from God in heaven. Jesus came to proclaim good news. Good news. And Jesus, what he's doing is he's promising, he's offering in the sermon true happiness, deep-seated joy, supernatural bliss, abundant eternal life, spiritual well-being, a right relationship with God, salvation and forgiveness. All these things Jesus is offering in the promise of blessedness. And this is what we need to understand. Could there ever be a greater promise or greater offering than this promise to anybody here on earth? You know, when I read this, honestly, like my first reaction is like, man, it's too good to be true. There's just too much blessings here. I'm overwhelmed. But that's what's flowing from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you noticed, but just in the first 12 verses, you find the word blessed 9 times. And so really what Jesus is doing, he's underscoring or he's emphasizing its central importance. In other words, he wants us to understand that the life that he's offering, that the salvation that he's offering, it's a blessed life, a blessed salvation, abundant, eternal, everlasting life. Think of it like this. The Lord is offering blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Really, it teaches us that the Christian walk is a blessed walk. How many can say amen to that? You know, it's not an easy walk. So don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean everything's going to be okay and well. And, you know, walk in the park. It's a difficult walk. It's a battle. It's a struggle. But life is a struggle. Life is a battle. But even in the midst of all that, in Christ as a Christian, man, I'm blessed. It's a blessed walk. It's a good fight. It's a good life. It's abundant, eternal, everlasting life. And it's all in Christ Jesus. How many can say amen to that? You know, every once in a while, occasionally, I'll come across someone who says these words and has this attitude. And maybe you've heard it before. I don't want to give my life to the Lord Jesus yet because I just want to have fun while I'm young. I want to live it up. I want to do my own thing, and I just want to have fun. You know, me personally, I've heard that hundreds of times. A lot of people have that attitude, and my response is always the same. And I'm going to be honest, it's a blunt response. And sometimes people don't think it's a nice response, but it's a true response. That's all that matters, right? Truth hurts, but deception kills. And my response is always the same. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Are you insane? You just want to have fun? Don't you know that Jesus is the only one who will give you true joy and abundant life? Don't you understand that without Jesus, and if you're here this morning, and if you're without Jesus, if you're not in Christ, don't you know that you're just a walking stick and you're empty and you're void and you have no purpose or satisfaction? And all you have is a mere empty, hollow existence at best without Jesus. Listen to this. Only a life surrendered and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ is a life lived in abundance, joy, peace, fulfillment, and satisfaction. You know, the Bible teaches us, and just for your reference, if you want to look it up later, Proverbs 13:15, that the way of the transgressor is hard. That living a sinful lifestyle, doing your own thing, rejecting God, rejecting the gospel, rejecting the word of God, that it's hard. It's a life filled with misery, with burden, with emptiness, with restlessness. It's a hard life, the way of the transgressor. And many of us, if not all of us, could attest to that. That before I gave my life to Christ, it was hard. No peace, no value, no purpose, no meaning, no joy or satisfaction. You know, I have brothers always that I'm just talking with. Adam, before I came to Christ, I was so angry. What were you angry about? I was just angry at life. I hated life. I despised life. And I would take it out on my wife. I would take it out on my family. I would take it out on others. The way of the transgressor is hard. But listen to this. There's another side to that coin. The way of the righteous is filled with goodness and mercy. How many could say amen to that? The way of the righteous, those who follow, those who give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the promise of blessedness. And listen to this. It's offered to every single one of us here today by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, have you received it by faith? Have you opened your heart to Christ and have you received these promises of blessedness? You know, I would just say this, if you have not already, and if you're like, find yourself on the fence, stop being miserable. Stop being burdened with sin. Accept Christ. Take his yoke upon your life and follow him and get to know what it means to live in abundance. Amen. Stop being miserable. Stop being miserable because you are. You are. I know it. Everybody knows it. You know it. And you want to stop fighting. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at the third thing. The third thing we see is the paradox of blessedness. We've seen the preacher. We've seen the promise. Now let's look at the paradox of blessedness. And let's again read verses 3 through 12. And like I did earlier, I'm just going to go through certain sections of the verses just to emphasize the heading that we're looking at for the third point. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And so the third thing we see and read is the paradox of blessedness. What do I mean by that? Simply this. What Jesus says about those who are really happy and about those who are really living an abundant life sounds so strange to our ears. Everything he says, and as you read it, everything at first glance, it sounds backwards. It sounds strange and it sounds paradoxical. It does. But this is the truth of heaven. Let me give you an example. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you kidding me? I thought the rich were blessed. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, the humble. Look at this one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I've been hungry. I'm never happy when I'm hungry. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted. Happy are the harassed. By human standards, as you read these verses, these things are not the stuff by which happiness is made of, by human standards. But they are in the kingdom of God. And this is the reality of the kingdom of God. It is so paradoxical. Now, what do I mean by that? I know that's a big word, right? It simply means that everything in the kingdom of God is turned upside down. Everything. Let me give you some examples. In the kingdom of God, if you want to be exalted, you must first humble yourself. In the kingdom of God, if you want to keep your life, you must first lose your life. in the kingdom of God. If you want to be strong, you must first be weak. In the kingdom of God, if you want to be filled, you must first be empty. In the kingdom of God, if you want to enter God's kingdom, if you want to live by God's standard, you must march from a beat of a different drum. And listen to this, okay? You must renounce the world's approval for heaven's applause in the kingdom of God. If you want to be successful, if you want to enter God's kingdom, if you want to play on Jesus's team, you need to renounce the world's applause for heaven's applause. Jesus said it the best. He said, anyone who wants to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and you have to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the cost. That's what we present to you this morning. We present to you a commitment, a sacrifice, a decision that you need to make. And you can't have both. You can't have both. You can't live for the world and you can't live for Christ. You're either all in or you're not in at all. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught. And that's what I believe this morning. All in or you're not in at all. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after the Lord Jesus. But listen to this. You guys are like, oh man, this sermon was just so positive. Why all this negativity? No. I'm just setting you up. Because when you do deny yourself, when you do take up your cross, when you do follow after the Lord Jesus by faith and by the grace of God, oh, the blessedness that comes pouring forth from the throne of God upon your life. It is an ocean of blessings. When you lose your life, you, for the first time, gain your life. And you're immersed in an ocean of blessings. I love what Paul says. The Apostle Paul, he got this. The Holy Spirit just showed him this revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The moment you gave your life to Christ, God the Father blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it all begins losing your life that you might gain your life in Christ. And this morning, this is the question. Listen to this. Please don't be distracted with conversations. Do you want to be blessed today? Do you want to experience abundant life? How many want that? How many long for that? How many of you want to be filled with joy? How many of you want to experience heaven this side of eternity? Do you know that you don't have to be miserable? Do you know that every day doesn't have to be like a prison cell? That every day you don't have to be weighed down by stress and anxiety, by burden, but you can have heaven now in Christ? That you can live an eternal, abundant life? If you want that, this is what the Lord says. Renounce the world and respond to me. And that's how you get it. Die to self, kill yourself, because yourself is the problem. You're the problem. Kill it, crucify, mortify the flesh, and by faith come to Christ, turn to Christ, give your life to Christ, and you will experience blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And if it pleases the Lord, He'll bless you even materially. It's His will. But if it's not His will, you'll still be blessed. You'll be blessed with a bus pass, fam. Because you got Christ in your heart. Amen. You don't need a nice car to be blessed. You got the spiritual blessings, the substance, what's real, the inside, daily living. I don't know about you, but I would rather have joy and peace than all the money in the world. To me, rich people, and they don't have peace and joy. You think, oh man, they're blessed. No, no, no. Without Christ, they're not blessed. But we're blessed. Can be a humble brother, humble sister, but in Christ you are blessed. You got to renounce the world, respond to Christ, and you will receive these blessings. Let's finish up, and I'm going to invite the brothers, Jonah, to come up. We're going to serve communion this morning, and so we're not going to be too long. But the fourth and final thing we want to look at before we dismiss is the path of blessedness. We've looked at the preacher of blessedness. We've looked at the promise of blessedness. We've looked at the paradox of blessedness, that God's ways are not our ways. And the fourth and final thing we want to look at is the path of blessedness. Let's read the Beatitudes again. And I'm really rereading them this morning on purpose because I want us just to capture them and get them in us. Let's read verse 3 again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Glory be to God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Fourth and finally, we want to look at the path of blessedness. The path. In these Beatitudes, and as we're going to see in this sermon, the Lord Jesus, what he's doing in a very graphic, vivid way, is he's laying out before us the path of blessedness. This is how you're able to obtain blessedness, happiness, joy, and satisfaction. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be filled with joy? Do you want to be satisfied? Right before your eyes, the Lord is laying out the path. Right before your eyes. That's what you're looking at right now. You're looking at the secret of success. The secret of blessedness is right before your eyes. It's laying the path right before your eyes. And you need to, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to apply these Beatitudes and this sermon to your life. You need to apply it. You need to be a doer of the word and not a mere hearer. You need to leave this place. And every day this week, you need to open up this sermon, open up these Beatitudes, and on your knees, ask God to give you the grace to apply them and to live them. When you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at home, this is the path of blessedness. And listen to this, okay? It's not meant to be observed only, but it's meant to be obeyed. Jesus is not looking for spectators. He's looking for participators. He's not looking for admirers, but he's looking for those who will apply the word. And that's where many people go wrong. And let me just share this, okay? And I share this with grace, with love, but I share this with conviction. Many people go wrong when they come to church, when they approach the word, because this is their attitude. It sounds nice. I enjoy listening to it. It makes me feel good, but they leave and they don't live it by faith. They don't live it. That's where people go wrong, because they're not a doer of the word. They're only a hearer, and it goes through one ear and out the next. And they leave these doors not changed, not transformed, not determined by the grace of God and the Spirit of God to live a life according to the word. And that's where they go wrong. That's where they make their mistake. I don't want that for you guys. I don't. That's why we're always emphasizing, make it real. Make it real. No tradition. No tradition. No dead religion. Don't just go through the motions. Get rid of the routine. Get rid of the routine. Get out of the routine. Make it real. Apply it to your heart. Apply it to your life. This is authentic Christianity. Genuine godliness. True spirituality. This is what God is looking for right here. Right here. And it needs to be applied to our hearts and lives. And the question is, do you have authentic Christianity? Is your faith real? Are you genuinely following the Lord Jesus? You know, Paul says something very, very impactful to the church in Corinth. He says that we need to examine our lives. We need to examine our hearts. How many of you guys know that as a follower of Jesus, it's healthy to examine your heart, examine your life? That this morning you can just examine, Lord, am I in? Lord, am I in the kingdom? Lord, is my relationship authentic? Is it genuine? Lord, is it real? Is it true? Or is there something in my heart, in my life that's keeping me? Is it a facade? Is it fake? Am I deceived? We all need to examine our lives this morning, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit, make it real. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk this path of blessedness. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be free from dead religion, from the superficial, shallow traditions. And help us, Holy Spirit, to enter into authentic Christianity. Amen. God bless every single one of you.